Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
We're talking about the gift of righteousness. I did actually send out an email on, of course, this message, but also concerning fathers. And so if you're not signed up for I sent it out to the men's group. If you're not signed up for that, you can sign up and get the emails. But I shared some thoughts that Christian Men's Network, Paul Lewis Cole, the guy who does the books, well, his father wrote the books that we're using for men's ministry. He wrote some good things about fathers, and there's some good stuff there if you want to grab it off the email. But we're talking about the gift of righteousness, and last week we proved that every person outside of Christ is in sin from the scripture. Everyone. And sometimes people wonder, well, why would that be important for me to know I'm a believer? Well, because you know people that are not believers, right? And it's a mandate to the church from the head of the church, Jesus Christ, that we go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I know sometimes people have this idea in their mind that that is just my job because I'm the preacher. But actually, it's to everybody. Amen? Now, you may not do it the way that I do it, and obviously from maybe this place as far as a pulpit is concerned, but you have opportunity every single day to share the gospel. And in order for you to properly share that, you need to understand that people that are not saved are actually in contradiction with God because of their nature. And that nature has to change. And I've heard people, testimonies through the years of different ones who have said, well, they're a pretty good person. Well, line them up against the law and see how good they are. Okay? Because we're not going by man's thought or man's standard. Okay? We're going by God's thought and God's standard. And since that's the case, how many know that there is no human that can stand before God and claim equality with him? They cannot, okay? Every person has sin. Now, you got to be wise in how you present those thoughts, because there are people, what I mean by that is you don't want to present it in such a way where there's no hope of redemption, okay? It's interesting to me because I've been in the church for, well, I got saved in 1996, but I was raised in church, and the church is very strong against sin, which, in all honesty, is not a bad thing. In a sense, the problem is that after you get born again, you need to understand your righteousness and that condition, that the new condition that you're in Christ, more than you need to understand the sin condition. Because if you have a heavy dose of sin preaching and doing and not doing preaching, you'll really struggle to, by faith, overcome the tendencies of your flesh and the nature of this that functions in this world. You'll have a tough time doing it, because victory in the new covenant comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you read through the epistles, especially the ones that are past the book of Acts, you're going to find that Paul dealt a lot, and so did the other apostles. They instructed a lot about who you are in Christ. And the reason why they did that is because they knew that the makeup of a human, spirit, soul, and body, the need is the renewal of the mind and the control of the body. That is the number one need of the believer, those two things. The renewal of the mind and the control of the body. Amen? And so what we're going to do this morning is answer the second question in part two. The first one is, why do we need righteousness? The second one was this: how is righteousness attained? So E.W. Kenyon said this in his book, Two Kinds of Righteousness. He said, universal sin consciousness is the parent of all the religions of the earth. Man has ever sought to rid himself of the sense of guilt and sin. You know, they do that two ways. I'll say it this way. They attempt to do it two ways outside of what the gospel shares. One is, I'm going to do enough good deeds to outweigh my bad deeds. Yeah, well, except that's not the measurement, but I understand where the thought comes from. And that's where every religious group comes from, every cult comes from, all of those type of things. The other is, I'm going to choose not to believe in a God at all, and I'm just going to live like I have no conscience inside. But even unsaved people, when they do wrong stuff, they know it. You say, how do you know that? Romans chapter 1, we already looked at it. The knowability of God is built into every person. When they are birthed into the, it is a part of the makeup, because you're a spirit first and you came from a creator. You know, people will make this statement, well, we're all children of God. Well, that's not entirely true. We're all the creation of God. But he is only father to those who have received his son. Only. Amen? All right? So we need to understand that. Well, this is the universal sin consciousness is the parent of all the religions of the earth. Man has ever sought to rid himself of the sense of guilt and sin. Sin consciousness was born at the fall. Genesis chapter 3. Sin consciousness was birthed into the earth at the fall when Adam and Eve sinned. That's when it came into the earth. It was manifested in Adam's fear to meet God and his desire to cover his nakedness. What was the first thing that came after Adam and Eve sinned? A fear of God. And then religion was birthed directly after. You say religion, yes. Remember what we said, sin consciousness is the parent to every religion. They attempted to cover them. All right, I'm gonna preach the gospel right out of Genesis 3, all right? Jesus is right there. Now, what did God the Father do? Did he leave them in their leaves? What did he do? He killed, he shed blood, and he covered them with the death of the animal. What is that? That's the gospel. Jesus shed blood, which cleansed you of sin, and then he gave you his nature. He put his nature over you. Now, that's the Old Testament. This is what's great about the New Testament. Oh, I could get excited. I know it's Father's Day and you may be thinking about a hot dog or something later. I don't know. But I'm telling you what, this is better than any ribeye I've ever had. I could eat this message over and over and over and over again. Their sins were covered. Mine are gone. I could go right into the throne room. Because of the blood of Jesus, they had some little animal cover their sins, not me. The Son of the living God came and shed blood for me. Now, he did for them as well. But I get the blessing of living in that covenant. Oh, glory. I'm telling you, I could get excited about this. Adam and Eve's solution to sin was leaves, or I would say personal works. And God's solution was the shedding of blood and animal skins. So we need to understand that. So let's continue on here. So how is this righteousness attained? Romans chapter 3, verse number 21. We're still in the same chapter. Paul begins to, he takes a lot of time to prove righteousness by faith. And that's what we're going to hit this morning. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, what does it say? Apart from the law is revealed. So we're in a time right now where the righteousness of God for humanity is being revealed apart from the law. Okay? Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What does that mean, being witnessed by the law and the prophets? What that means is that the law and the prophets witness to the covenant that we have today. Now you say, what are the law and the prophets? It's the whole Old Testament. The law and the prophets is the whole Old Testament. The entire Old Testament is what is called types and shadows of the new. Types and shadows. We in the new covenant are not in a shadow. We are in the light. Glory to God. I'm so excited about it. I get excited. I can't even sit still in my office. I'll just push my notes back sometimes and just go, thank you, Lord. Bless you. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Thank you so much. I'm blessed. We are not in types and shadows. We're functioning in the light. Actually, the Bible says we are in the light as he is in the light. Glory to God. As the scripture says in 1 John, as he is, so also are. Man, I'm telling you what, the devil is jealous of my position. He's jealous of yours. So the Old Testament was types and shadows. Jesus, listen to me, everything in the Old Testament is a type. Jesus is the anti-type, which means he is. He is not just the representation. He is the one. And he will always be. Amen? So, verse 22, it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22, even the righteousness of what? Of what? Of who? What righteousness do you have? Say it. God's righteousness. Well, you don't know me, Sean. No, you don't know your Savior. You know too much about you in the natural and what other stinky mouth people have said about you, and you don't know enough about what the Lord said about you. The righteousness that was revealed in the current time that we are in, the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of what we call the church age, it is a righteousness. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a revelation of the righteousness of God available to humanity. And we're going to see it, but through faith. So we know that it's not a righteousness that's in the law. It's apart from the law. And then in verse 22, what kind of righteousness is it? It's the righteousness of God, which is also stated in verse 21. And what is that? How does that righteousness come? It comes through faith in Jesus Christ to and on who believe. For there is no difference. So who can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Anybody who believes. Yay. Anybody who believes. Yeah, but you don't know. No. Don't change the gospel. If you believe, it's yours. Amen? If you believe, it's yours. All right, let's look at this. Verse 21 again. First, we see that this righteousness is not attained by keeping the law. Notice the statement in verse 21. I'm going to repeat a few things here. The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. So Paul is telling the Romans and us that they should not look to the works of the law in order to obtain the righteousness of God. The law of God laid down what man must do to attain righteousness. And it also proved that all men were under sin. But the gospel of Jesus Christ laid down what God did on man's behalf to attain righteousness for man. That's what it does. So this righteousness is apart from the law. And it was witnessed by the law and the prophets or the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. It is apart from the law. You cannot, I don't know if I can say this emphatically enough. I'll try. You cannot earn a right position with God. You can only receive it. All right. All right. This isn't Santa Claus. This isn't Santa. God's not up there. Who's been naughty? Who's been nice? God's like, well, Josh has been mean this year. Nope, no righteousness for him. He comes down and says, now, Josh, I made you the righteousness of God in me. Now stop acting a fool. That's exactly how it is. People think, oh, I sinned. I lost my righteousness. No, you didn't. You just acted stupid. You yielded to the wrong spirit or the wrong nature. All right. Listen to me now. How many good deeds could you do to get saved? So why did you lose it after you did a bad deed? Come on. I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. I mean, I'm telling you, you are righteous because your faith is in Christ. You know why your relationship with the Lord sometimes is miserable? Is because you're trying to approach him in leaves. Stop approaching that way. Realize you've been robed in righteousness. If you could see you on the inside, you'd be much happier on the outside. Because you'd realize that God is not in heaven browbeating you. If the Lord ever deals with you about sin, it does not leave you in a place of condemnation. It leaves you in a place of dealing with something and moving forward with confidence. The Holy Spirit does not minister condemnation. He ministers conviction, which is the word convincing. Well, I know why the Lord's not answering my prayers, because I did this, this, and this. Wrong. The Lord already answered all your prayers. The reason why your prayers are hindered is because you opened the door to the devil through sin. But it has nothing to do with God. It just means the devil comes in to what? Steal? God is not your problem. God is not your problem. He is not your problem. Stop trying to earn your healing. It's been given. Well, if I pray enough, you can't pray enough. Jesus did enough. Come on. Oh, man, I could stay on this subject until you get happy. Some people still have that look on their face like, I don't know. Well, I'm trying to prove it to you. If you'll just work with me a little bit and the Holy Ghost, we'll get you happy before you go. Amen. All right, let's look at verse 22. Let's break it down. So what was revealed as the means by which the righteousness of God is received if it was not by the law? We see the answer to this question in verse 22. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and is received through faith in Jesus Christ, and it is to all and on all who believe. The gospel of Jesus Christ represents his incarnation, his crucifixion, and his ascension. This reveals the righteousness of God. This righteousness is received through or by faith. Paul emphasized the righteousness, that righteousness comes through faith alone. Now, if you don't believe me on that, put this in your notes after that statement. Paul emphasized that righteousness comes through faith alone. Read Romans chapter 3, verse 27 through Romans chapter 4, verse 25, and you'll see it over and over and over again. It is by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. I can hear the religious thinking in the room. I can probably hear it online. I understand what it means when Jesus said he knew their thoughts. When you're preaching, it is an interesting thing, but the Holy Ghost will go, answer this question. And it's probably in your head or somebody's. And I could hear the religious thinking. What they're thinking is, and this is where the enemy gets people trapped in condemnation, they're thinking, well, I did this thing, and I know I'm not supposed to, but I did it anyway. Welcome to the understanding of a three-part nature. You have a spirit that is so beautiful, so pure, so clean, because Christ lives in you. You've got a head that is still conditioned to the old things you did, the current things you did, and the nature of the world and the flesh. And you've got a body that the Bible says is good for one main thing, slavery. He said, do you believe in modern day slavery? Yes, of the Christian's body only. And it's an individual responsibility. So I've got to get the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. This is why it was given to us. I've got to get the believer's head and my head shifted to a righteousness in Christ mentality, so that the power that is within me, which is the same power in you and in me that raised Christ from the dead, has the ability to conquer the enemy in this life and the nature of the flesh. Guys, listen to me. This is why the Bible says, I preached so good that that offering bucket fell out under the power back there. fell right off the sound booth. It just took a dive right there. Listen, this is why the Bible says, take every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is why the church is our faith family church, life in Christ. One of the main reasons. So this righteousness, the gospel of righteousness, it's the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the ascension. This righteousness is received by faith alone. Notice that it says in verse 21, to all, or verse 22, to all. This implies that when we believe, we become the righteousness of God in position. In other words, sin, singular, the word sin, singular, as a nature is removed from your spirit. You, as a believer, no longer have, do not have. It was destroyed. It was paid for. You no longer have a sin nature in your spirit. You do not. People say, well, I think I do. No, you're confused. You think your flesh is you, and it's not. You're on the inside looking through these windows called eyeballs. Paul said this, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, if Christ's in you, what's Satan doing in you? You think Satan's gonna, like they're in a, you know, there's a big living room in your heart. Jesus and his buddies are over here, but on the other side are all these demons, you know? And they meet in the middle every once in a while and have arm wrestling contests. See who's gonna win that day. No. You are completely brand new in the spirit. You say, what's my problem? Again, here and here. Here and here. Now, you've got to agree with what the Lord said about you in the spirit if you want it to dominate. People sometimes are like, I'm tired of sitting. I know. Learn who you are in Christ, and the Bible says you will dominate your enemy. Oh, you don't believe me, but I need to show you. Go to Romans chapter 8. I know most of you believe me. Some of you are still struggling with this. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read two of them to you, and I'm not going to even get to the rest of my notes, which means, glory to God, there'll be a Romans gift of righteousness part, what are we on, 6? There'll be a 6A, so I can actually get through my notes. It's okay. I don't think we can get enough of this. Do you know you can't overeat the Word of God? You can overeat ice cream. I've tried. But you can't overeat the Word of God. You can't. You can't get too full of this. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says this, for if you live according to the flesh, you will what? That means death will manifest around you if you yield to the flesh. It'll manifest in your life. But if by the Spirit you what? You do what? The what? Deeds of the body you will. By the what? But if by the. You have power in you to dominate your body. That word spirit is capitalized. You notice that? That's because it's not talking about the human spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. And that power gives you the ability to dominate the nature of your flesh. You're gonna wake up in the morning, hey flesh, guess what I'm gonna make you do today? You're gonna love everybody. You're gonna be so nice and patient and kind. I am going to make you do it, you little stinker. My job is to keep you in check until I get a new one. All right. Let me give you another one and then we'll stop. Romans chapter 6. Just go back a couple chapters. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Watch this, verse 12. Romans 6, verse 12. Am I beating you, Bowen, or you got me? Romans chapter 6, verse number 12. There it is. Therefore, what? Do not let reign in your, that you should obey it in its lusts. Who's not supposed to let sin reign in their mortal body? Notice where sin is reigning or attempting to. In your spirit, in your body. It's just your little old body. And you've got big Jesus on the inside, so little body on the outside has no chance. People think, are you quoting a scripture? Yes, I am. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Smith Wigglesworth used to say this. He'd say, I'm 10,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. What was he expressing? He was expressing that me, the spirit man on the inside, who has now been united with the resurrection of Christ, has the ability to dominate the nature that is on the outside of me. People say, well, I don't feel like loving that person. You do on the inside. It's just you're in touch with the outside. So just make the outside do what it's supposed to do. Well, then I'd be lying. No, you'd be telling the truth. If you follow how you feel instead of who you are, you actually end up functioning in a lie. Therefore, the Bible says, therefore, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Therefore, put on. Come on, how many have ever seen Iron Man? The Marvel movie, Iron Man, right? What does he do when he goes to fight? He puts on. He's on the inside of the suit. You're on the inside of the suit. If you look up some of the Greek words that talk about spirit and body, some of them actually refer to like a sword being put into a sheath. The sheath is the body. Peter said it this way. He said, I'm going to have to put off this tent. Tent? Now, if you go camping and you get in your little sleeping bag like a little burrito for a bear, and you get in your little tent and zip it up. Are you the tent? You're inside the. Come on, you're inside your body. You are not your body. I know we do everything we can. We, you know, put creams on the body to make it, the tent, to make it look better and less wrinkly. We dye the hair of the body. We pluck and poke and cinch. Some people get surgery for their tent. They replace parts in the tent, but you are not the tent. All right. You are not, Pastor Joy, come on. I gotta move on. You are not the tent. You are inside the tent. Rejoice, because you're righteous. Your prayers get answered. My prayers get answered every single time. Now, have I received them perfectly? No, not every single time, but the Lord's still working with you. But you know what? The Lord never denied me. Because the scripture says, he who did not withhold or spare even his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give me all other things? Yay! I am so grateful. Amen?
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.